First Timothy chapter 5, verse 1. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. So this is these letters of Paul to Timothy and Titus are often called the pastoral letters, because they're written with the perspective of how the leaders ought to behave themselves within the church, whereas the general epistles were written to the churches in general. The first instruction is not to rebuke an elder, which is to chastise or to upbraid, but to entreat as a father. And again, I think all commandments have to be taken in the spirit, but never in the sense that you should use it as a cloak for wickedness. But I mean that an elder would only be rebuked in the most extreme circumstances. You entreat. And also, you know, there are certain things for which people are ejected from the church. But it's not proper to upbraid an elder. But rather you entreat. You know, that word is parakaleo. You know, it is, you know, used sometimes in the sense of, well, in the last chapter, when it says reading exhortation is paraklesis. So it's in the sense of you can exhort, which means you talk to them. It indicates a more respectful, more moderated type of way you speak to someone. And the younger men as brethren. There is a place for rebuke. Again, but we don't just whip it out against elders, God forbid, and against the younger men, be sparing. The elder women as mothers, you know, he's saying the way in which we talk to basically everyone to be gentle. Like I said, it's not that rebuke doesn't have its place, because the knot is kind of carried through all this. Entreat the elders as a father. Entreat the young men as brethren. Entreat the elder women as mothers. Entreat, entreat, entreat. And the younger as sisters with all purity. That's something that came to be, that's why in the Nicene Council, I think they had something where bishops weren't allowed to live with women who were not their wives. I mean, because there could have been legitimate reasons to have those younger women in the church, like living as wards of the church. But there was so much impropriety going on that they had to pass a law about it. Okay, so we need to be... But to the pure, these things can be done in purity. But without purity, everything is impure. Everything is defiled. And then a lot of times people sneak into the church and they're not there by the choosing of God, at least not for a good purpose. But rather they have some other motive. And they desire to possess the things that God has given to those he has chosen. And they don't receive. See, you know, how does this get lost? Because men come into the church who are not called of God, not for good at least, and who do not receive the gifts of righteousness, the gifts of godliness, the gifts of holiness, which are received by faith through the grace of God. For grace does reign through righteousness, as the Apostle Paul declared in the book of Romans. They do not obtain these things. So, but through other means, cunning, craftiness, deceit, hypocrisy, hiding sin, they attain office in the church. And by attaining these positions, they change the doctrine. They change the emphasis. and so overthrew the gospel of Christ, at least in the, you know, what was, you know, mainstream Christianity still has a stranglehold on what is Christian. You know, what is, you know, what I define as the Christian God is not what most Christians define as the Christian God, or have defined for thousands of years. By and large, in the visible church, and that visible organization, which, you know, because the things that are visible in that regard, you know, to me it seems like that must be just the realm of Satan. Because, not that the church is nothing but an invisible thing, though that is something to be said for that. The church is a, you know, is the body of Christ, knit together in Him. But the earthly organization, and there's all sorts of opportunity for corruption. And it has been fostered, and it is grown. And it is that system. So, continuing on. Verse 3. Honor the widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them first learn to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. One of the principal ways in which the child honors their parents and repays their parents is, as he's saying here, is like, you know, if she has children or nephews, if they're a widow, you notice he equates honor with the church taking care of people. And that's what it means to honor your father and your mother. You obey them when you're young, and you take care of them when you're old, when they're old. That's what he means by showing piety at home. You want to show that you have reverence. So show reverence within your own household. Return the care your parents gave to you as a child to them now that they're old and in need. In this country, we have to do it with a gun to our head because of Social Security and so on and so forth. So we're taking care of everyone's parents. So it's sort of a double-bladed sword, because in a sense, it's like everyone's got to pay their taxes, and that's going to take care of everyone else's parents.